One, two, three. That's really all you need.
That's not a quorum. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday, May 5th meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules. Member, we are here as a subcommittee at the moment, but we do have a number of legislators who have other places to be. So I will begin by opening a public hearing on House Bill 3042. Erin, would you tell us about this one?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 3042 designates April 14th of each year as Honorary Artist Day of Oregon.
Okay, great. And I see we have Representative Boone and friend. So why don't you go ahead and give us your testimony?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for the record, Deborah Boone, House District 32. And thank you, Madam Chair and committee member, Senator, for having me here today. I had hoped to have the person who requested the bill with me, but she is in school, and she's an eighth grader. She's 14 years old from Seaside Middle School, Haley Rollins. And this all came to be when I went to visit four of the classes in civics, social studies, whatever it's called these days, and told them about what you do when you're a state legislator. And at the end of my talk to each of the four classes, I said, because they all asked, how do you get a bill passed? How do bills get passed? Who comes up with these harebrained ideas? And I said, well, you can do it, and told them how to do it. I had the little schematic, how a bill becomes a law. And I got a call a couple weeks after that she said, well, I was serious. Can you help me do a bill? And I said, do you have something in mind? And she said, yes, I do. And she is an artist, a budding artist, and she's very good. And she will probably be doing some artwork for you because she likes to do that when she doodles. And her thing was to have a special day. She researched it, and she wanted a special day to honor the, you know, not just professional artists in Oregon, but all artists. And so she asked for it to be on April 14th, which also happens to be her birthday. And I just will read a little bit. This does designate April 14th of each year as Honorary Artists of Oregon's Day. And she wrote this. She wrote it with Ledge Council. And I asked her to be as complete as she could. So if you don't mind, I'll read some of it to you. And I know you have it. You can read the rest of it. But this is, whereas art education should not be an elective in Oregon schools, but a necessity. And whereas students should be encouraged to take art classes at all levels, from preschool to college. And then she goes on to talk about how it assists in brain development through techniques that highlight eye-hand coordination, mixing colors, layering, and sequencing. And whereas all children who are well-grounded in the arts tend to be strong in other subjects as well and achieve many successes in life, academically, spiritually, socially, and creatively. And then it goes on, it describes a little bit more that they should be educated in art history, theory, technique, practice, and be exposed to living and working artists in this state and of the world. And outside of schools, Oregonians could celebrate by working together to incorporate art into their communities through murals, sculptures, community gardens, and other art projects. Now therefore be it enacted by the people of the state of Oregon to designate April 14th of each year as Honorary Artists of Oregon Day to celebrate art and artists, to promote art education in the state, and to encourage engagement in artistic endeavors. And I would be happy to answer any questions you might have, but I would encourage you to please pass this bill. It came through the House side unanimously, and it would be very nice for her to be able to be on the Senate floor when it passes here. So thank you.
Great. Okay. Well, we'll look forward to having her here. Huh. I just noticed it says corrected requester, which I have never seen on a bill, printed on a bill before.
And that is because I had spelled her name wrong. I spelled it H-A-I.
Aha.
She caught it.
That answers that question. Okay. Would you like to testify as well?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Craig Campbell. I'm here on behalf of the Cultural Advocacy Coalition in support of House Bill 3042 and also as a father of two burgeoning artists. I'll keep my comments that brief because I know you've got other people who would love to testify on their bills.
Great. Okay, well, thank you both. Senator Ferrioli, did you have any questions?
Oh, I was just thinking about Mr. Reed and Ms. Cameron.
Oh, my gosh. Mr. Reed Bailyn.
Yes, who perhaps the one of the witnesses could identify for the record.
Malin Reed was my art teacher in high school and put me on art staff to keep me focused, and really is somewhat responsible after my sixth grade teacher, who was an anthropologist. And I spent a lot of time in what is now called the detention bar at Kennedy School. That was her private office where I was sent to draw and focus.
Well, seems like it worked out well.
And Ms. Cameron.
Thanks for outing me.
And Ms. Cameron.
Oh, Ms. Cameron?
Yes.
I'm afraid you're going to have to tell me about her. I do recall the name, but not the teacher.
She was another teacher who made a specialty of rescuing troubled youth with art. Thank you.
Okay, well, thanks for that bit of memorabilia. Okay, well, I think that's all we need from you then. So thank you very much for your testimony. We'll let you go about your business and get to your other hearing.
Thank you.
Okay, and I will close the public hearing on House Bill 3042, open a work session on House Bill 3042. Senator Ferrioli.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3042 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved House Bill 3042 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Motion carries. I see that Senator Johnson is a chief sponsor, so we'll ask her to carry on the floor, and I'll close the work session on House Bill 3042. HCR 8. Okay. Next, I will open a public hearing and work session on House Concurrent Resolution 8A. And Erin, what are we looking at here?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, HCR 8A honors musical legacy of James Gilbert Pepper. Comes to you from your your House floor and your House Rules Committee unanimously.
Great. Thank you, Erin. And I see we've been joined by Representative Smith Warner. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Barbara Smith Warner, and I represent House District 45, Northeast Portland, Maywood Park, and Park Rose. Passed this through the House. This is a memorial on behalf of Jim Pepper, who is a great Native American musician. This was at a constituent request, and there had been a prior resolution, Senate Joint Resolution 31 in 2005. And since that time, we have actually, both we've learned more about Mr. Pepper and his fame, as sometimes happens, has spread both nationally and internationally. So I am just going to give you a little information about him and then ask that you would support this resolution. He was born in Salem, so he's a native of Salem. He was born here in 1941, and he grew up in the Park Rose neighborhood of Portland, which I represent. And he, as a matter of fact, passed away in 1992 in his Park Rose home. He was of Kaw ancestry through his father, Gilbert Pepper, and Muscogee or Creek ancestry through his mother, Floy Pepper. He took his music to New York City, throughout Indian country, and to Europe and Africa, bridging cultures and continents during his lifetime. He was a founding member of the first jazz rock fusion band in music history, and musicians around the world continue to record their versions of Pepper's compositions. He received many awards and recognition during his lifetime and posthumously. In addition to the First Americans in the Arts Lifetime Musical Achievement Award in 1999, he was inducted into the Native American Music Hall of Fame in 2000 and the Oklahoma Jazz Hall of Fame in 2007. So this resolution honors his accomplishments and musical legacy of this native son, Jim Pepper, and I would ask for it to have your support.
Well, thank you for bringing this to us. I do remember, I think I may have even heard him play, so it's certainly quite a loss, but somebody we really do want to commemorate.
Thank you.
Any questions for Representative Smith Warner? I don't see any questions for you, so we'll go ahead and keep going there. Thank you very much. And members, we are in a work session. Senator Ferrioli?
Madam Chair, I move HCR 8A to the floor of the be adopted recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved HCR 8A to the floor with the be adopted recommendation. Any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Motion carries. Looks like Senator Dembrough is the chief sponsor, so we'll ask him to be our carrier on the floor, and I'll close the work session on House Concurrent Resolution 8. And, okay, let's move on and open a public hearing and work session on House Concurrent Resolution 18. Senator Whitsitt, if you'd like to come forward, and Erin, just briefly tell us what it is.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. HCR 18 commends Dr. Donald R. Pettit for his career and achievements on Earth and in space.
Thank you, Erin, and welcome, Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Senator Doug Whitsitt, representing Senate District 28, Klamath, Crook, most of Lake Jackson, and Deschutes counties. House Concurrent Resolution 18 honors astronaut Don Pettit. Dr. Pettit was raised in Silverton, Oregon, where he attended Silverton High School. He went on to Oregon State University, where he earned his bachelor's degree in chemical engineering. Dr. Pettit was a classmate, friend, and study partner of Representative Gail Whitsitt at Oregon State University, where they studied geology in the mid-1970s. They both graduated from Oregon State in 1978. He finished his college education at the University of Arizona, where he earned a Ph.D. in chemical engineering in 1983. Dr. Pettit began a career with the National Aeronautics and Space Administration as a staff scientist at the Los Alamos National Laboratory in 1984. At that time, he worked in the fields of reduced gravity fluid flow and material processing on board a uniquely outfitted NASA KC-135 airplane. He also performed research in fumarole gas sampling from volcanoes and studied problems in detonation physics. While at Los Alamos, Don Pettit was a member of the Synthesis Group. That research unit was tasked in 1990 with assembling the technology to return to the moon and to explore Mars. He was also a member of the International Space Station redesign team. In April of 1996, Dr. Pettit was selected by NASA to fly as an astronaut. He completed his first space flight from November 23, 2002 through May 3, 2003 on Expedition 6. He served as the NASA International Space Station science officer on that 5.5-month flight. While in orbit, Pettit performed 13 hours of extravehicular activity, that's spacewalking, while continuing the external outfitting of the orbital outpost. Dr. Pettit took two additional space flights. His second flight into space was an STS-126 Endeavour. That flight returned to Earth after completing 250 orbits traveling more than 6 million miles. His third flight was on Expedition 3031, which orbited the Earth 3,088 times between December 21st, 2011 and July 1st, 2012. And traveled more than 76 million miles. On his first flight into space, which began November 2nd, 2002, he was left on the International Space Station, where there was insufficient room for him on the space shuttle Columbia. That shuttle broke up upon reentry to Earth's atmosphere in February of 2003, killing all of Pettit's astronaut crewmates on board. Dr. Pettit, Russian cosmonaut Nikolai Buterin, and American astronaut Kenneth Bowersox were left stranded on the International Space Station. They had been scheduled to return to the Earth the next month in early March of 2003 on the space shuttle Atlantis. They spent the next 6 months orbiting the Earth onboard the space station while all remaining U.S. space shuttles were grounded. On May 3, 2003, astronaut Pettit, Buterin, and Bowersox returned to Earth in a high-gravity entry in a Russian Soyuz spacecraft landing in the Russian desert. Nonetheless, Pettit has continued to fly in space. To date, astronaut Don Pettit has logged 370 days in orbit around the Earth. Only three other American astronauts have spent more time in space. Pettit is still an active astronaut in NASA's space program in Houston, Texas. He told Representative Whitsitt that he intends to fly into space at least one more time. In our opinion, he has shown extraordinary bravery in the face of extreme danger and disaster. He has continued to travel back into space for further work and discovery for the advancement of humankind's future in space. Dr. Don Pettit is a living example of a modern-day unsung hero. He is a wonderful example of the best products of Oregon's public school and university system. Don Pettit is truly a man for our youth who are interested in technology and science to aspire to follow into space. Please move House Concurrent Resolution 18 to the Senate floor with a due adoption recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions for Senator Whitsitt? My only question is, are you willing to carry this on the floor?
Sure.
Great.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'll close. Well, I guess we're in a work session already. So, Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, I move HCR 18 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Farioli moves HCR 18 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objections to the motion? Motion carries, and we'll ask Senator Whitsitt to be our carrier on the floor.
Thank you
and
very much.
I'll close the public hearing and work session on HCR 18. And okay, I'll next open a public hearing and work session on House Concurrent Resolution 20.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, HCR 20 honors civic leader, author, journalist, and entrepreneur Jerry Frank.
Thank you, Erin. And I see we've got Representative Gilliam here, and he's been waiting patiently, and we're looking forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Vic Gilliam, State Representative from Silverton. Thank you for this opportunity, and now I'm joined, as you say, by my friend, who will also testify, but I've known Jerry Frank for a long time, and so I was pleasantly surprised when freshman Representative Jody Hack, and you've probably got it in front of you, I believe Senator Winters is on the bill as well, brought this. Jerry Frank is their constituent, but a lot of us know him, I'm sure. You all have either met him or been exposed to all the different ways he's served Oregon. So when I was asked to sign on, I readily did so. And then I, for a floor speech, I started looking at all of the things that Jerry's done and the things that he's sort of known for, from the longest serving chocolate cake judge at the state fair. He has his own chocolate shop, the Kundirai, the restaurant. The books that he's written, he still has the best-selling guidebook on New York and the books he's written about Oregon and all of that. And I decided that that would probably be covered. And I found a book that I had forgotten about. And it was a collection of Jerry's Friday surprise columns. He used to write Friday Surprise, which was based on a marketing scheme many years ago, Myron Frank, his family store, would have the Friday Surprise, something, some special item that folks, so it could come and buy. And he stole that and wrote Friday Surprise on Fridays. And this collection of his columns is quite interesting. But one I had forgotten about was one that he wrote about his experience in World War II and as a artillery army, I'm going to say his highest rank was private. And I'm not going to read it to you. I'm going to leave behind the two pages from that column. But I read excerpts on the floor. And it's an incredible story of someone who entered a death camp in Germany just hours after the Germans had surrendered. And the experience and the description can only be from his words. If you have not experienced that, and I certainly haven't, my description would pale. So I will leave that for you. And I just feel that this may be one of the most important things about Jerry Frank. He doesn't talk about it very often. I'm grateful that in 1993 he wrote about it. And as I said on the floor, there's a reason we call this the greatest generation. And this 93-year-old gentleman is still living and working hard in Salem and very much worth your consideration for this honor on the Senate floor as we did. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Representative Gilliam.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Craig Campbell. I'm here on behalf of AAA Oregon-Idaho in support of House Concurrent Resolution 20. Mr. Frank has served on the AAA board for 20 years, and during that time he has lent his rather tremendous political acumen and his dedication to the transportation system of the state, and we would be remiss if we didn't offer words of support in a process that duly honors him for his efforts on behalf of the state. And I, too, am willing to answer any questions you may have, but otherwise I'm fully supportive and hope you would endorse House Concurrent Resolution 20.
Well, thank you both for your testimony. Any questions?
I have a comment.
Oh, go ahead. Let's hear your comment.
It's interesting, because we talk about the greatest generation, because 70 years today, James Thayer, second lieutenant commanding a reconnaissance platoon, liberated the Gunschau SS POW camp, freeing 15,000 prisoners 70 years ago today, which I know what that article says, too.
Thank you for that.
Okay, thank you, Senator Farrelly.
Madam Chair, I move HCR 20 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Farrelly has moved HCR 20 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? The motion carries. Looks like Senator Winters would be an appropriate carrier, so we'll ask her to be our carrier, and I'll close the work session on HCR 20. I see we've been joined by Representative McLean. Representative McLean, Representative Reardon has been waiting for a while. Do you have time to wait for him, or are you in a hurry?
Thank you, sir.
Is that okay?
Much more prestigious.
Okay, great. Well, we will move on to that then. And I'll open a public hearing and work session on HCR 9. Erin?
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, HCR 9 recognizes the importance of insect pollinators and urges support of programs to ensure safety and vitality of pollinator populations.
Thanks, Erin. And I see Representative Reardon, who's been waiting patiently, is here to tell us about it.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and committee. My name is, for the record, Jeff Reardon, State Representative for District 48. And I appreciate your hearing this today. The bill recognizes critical importance of honeybees, native bees, and other pollinators in Oregon's economy, environment, and our healthy lives. It's also a commitment to support pollinator health and the programs that advance it. A little background. Many of you remember the massive bee die-offs over the last few years, particularly in Wilsonville, where 55,000 bees rained down from linden trees. They'd been improperly sprayed with a type of pesticide known as neonicotinoids. And so this bill led me to submit a bill in 2014 to try to ban neonics. That was that bill did not go very far. It turned into a study group, and I'm really glad that it did. Over the last year, I worked alongside experts in pollinator health, invertebrates, pesticide purveyors, environmentalists, and beekeepers to find a series of solutions that are a good fit for Oregon and a good fit for bees. I think that was really a lot more productive than any ban might have been. You'll see the fruits of that labor in the coming weeks on the House floor, but that's not what I'm here to talk about today. Today is step one, taking time just to simply recognize why bees are so critical to Oregonians. And most of us know that bees pollinate many of our crops, but we don't always take time to think about just how many of these crops. One in every three bites that we consume is pollinated with the help of an insect. That includes Oregon favorites like apples, pears, blueberries, squash, and more. But bees don't only serve our culinary enjoyment. The insect pollinator agricultural economy in Oregon totals in at about $600 million per year, providing jobs for our residents from coast to eastern Oregon. So why do we need a resolution? Oregon farmers know how important bees are to their crops. So do beekeepers and scientists, and by now, hopefully legislators. But we also need to ensure that the general public is aware of the importance of pollinator health. We rely on the general public to use pesticides in their homes safely and judiciously. We rely on the general public to plant bee-friendly plants in their yards to increase pollinator habitat, and we rely on the public to inform the Department of Agriculture when a local hive dies. We also need to come together and commit to making pollinator health a priority by supporting existing programs and new opportunities to educate the public about pollinator health. I hope you'll join me and pass this resolution, or this, yes, it is a resolution. We need bees for our very existence, and now they need us. Join me today in supporting House Concurrent Resolution 9. Send a clear message that Oregon is pro-stripe.
Thank you, Representative Reardon, and also for all the good work that you've done on this. Do we have any questions?
No, I'm pro-meat. I'm fine.
Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so thanks again.
Thank you.
And I believe I had opened a work session already. So, Senator Farioli, did you have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move HCR 9 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Farioli moves HCR 9 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Any discussion on his motion?
Senator Gelser's on here.
Yeah, I see that. Any objection? Okay, motion carries, and Senator Boquist just pointed out that Senator Gelser is a sponsor, so we'll ask her if she'd like to carry this on the floor.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, and I'll close the work session on HCR 9. And next, I will open a public hearing and work session on HCR 26. And Erin, just briefly.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, HCR 26 honors David Michael Jones.
Thank you, Erin, and welcome Representative McLean and friend.
Senator Rosenbaum, members of the committee, my name is Elizabeth Remley here on behalf of the Oregon Society of Physician Assistants, who one of our main leaders was Dave Jones. He led the profession and especially the political arm of the profession for a long time. Dave Jones was one of two providers in Condon for a long, long time, and he did everything for the town of Condon. And he also was a pioneer in the physician assistant profession in Oregon. And he passed away just after session started from a really aggressive bout with pancreatic cancer. Normally he would have been on my weekly calls with the physician assistants talking about the policies that we're considering, and his voice has been sorely missed both in the building and in the profession, so we wanted to be able to honor him. And then I discovered that Representative McLean has a personal connection to Dave, and so I'll let Rep. McLean tell you about that.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I grew up in Condon, where Dave practiced. He was my only health care until I graduated from high school. Great man. Can't say enough about him. I appreciate your endorsement of this.
Thank you, Representative McLean. And was there anyone, since it's a committee bill, we don't have sponsors. It looks like Senator Hansel might be an appropriate carrier.
Yes.
Okay, great. Any questions for these folks? Okay, well, thank you, Representative McLean. Thank you, Elizabeth, for bringing this to us. And Senator Farioli, we are in a work session.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move HCR 26 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Okay, Senator Farioli has moved HCR 26 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion on his motion? Any objection to the motion? Okay, motion carries. And we will ask Senator Hansel to be our carrier on the floor. And I think we still have, do we have one left?
We have one more left.
Okay, and that goes back up there. Okay, so I will open a public hearing and work session on House Bill 3521. Erin?
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3521 designates third week in April of each year as Independent Media Week. This measure does come to you from Representative Buckley, who unfortunately due to other commitments couldn't be here with us this afternoon, but did ask that we move it to the floor on his behalf.
Okay, so looks like we just need a motion.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3521 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Senator Farioli moves House Bill 3521 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. And I don't know. Yeah. We don't have a senator on here. Do we have a media person?
Senator Burdick.
Senator Burdick. That's a great idea. Let's ask Senator Burdick.
And well, I was going to suggest Senator Devlin, you know, Buckley Day. It's probably Senator Devlin who is, you know, causing President Buckley not to be here.
Not to be here. That's also a great idea.
Isn't Senator Haas also a fairly renowned
both of them are.
Media yeah. maven?
Well, how about since Senator Burdick's a member of our committee, we'll assign it to her, and then if she does not wish to do it, we have lots of other choices.
Madam Chair, in absentia.
In absentia.
Sure, her books and her papers are here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, her spirit is here. Okay, so we'll ask Senator Burdick to be our carrier. I'll close the work session on House Bill 3521, and that completes the agenda for today. Thank you, members, both for showing up. And with nothing further to come before us today, we're adjourned.